Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, July 30th, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 230 of the show. I have a very special return guest, comedian, host, producer extraordinaire, Chelsea White, the lovely and talented and delightful Chelsea White. She's back on the show. It's been about 4 years since she's been on the show, and super excited to have her back on. It's been a long time coming, and I'm going to talk to her in a few minutes. I'm going to share it with you in a few minutes. I talked to her yesterday. I'm just opening up, just fourth walling it a little bit. You know, that's what happened. So right now I'm sitting in my apartment. I'm on my couch. I'm watching NBA TV, and there's this flex tape thing that they're selling, and a guy just cut in his boat in half, and he put flex tape. He cut it down the middle, and he put flex tape on it, and it basically he put it back together with the flex tape, and he's riding on the water with a flex taped boat. So if you want to think about the baller life that I'm living right now, you think about that and think about what you could be doing with yours. I don't know where I'm going with this. So I'm recording this episode. I had a good week last week, a really fun week. Completed my week at the Creek on Friday of last week. It was fun. It was very, I learned about myself, and it was, my act, I think, got sharpened by it. It was good to get in reps, do a bunch of long sets, and it was fun. Shout out to Brandon Collins, Ariel Yeti, and Courtney Farrington for holding me down opening. Brandon Collins opened all the shows, and Ariel and Courtney did some guest spots during the week. Really mad props to Brandon and Ariel for the Monday show, because only one person came. There's only one person, maybe a couple people sprinkled in and out as they are wont to do at the Creek in the Cave. But my homie Scott Stanglin was in attendance, good friend from grad school who's on Broadway doing The Great Comet, came through on his off day to watch the show. And it was just, they got me to, because I was feeling really frustrated about people not showing up and whatnot. And it's like, oh, I was being really pouty. Being a 37-year-old kid. I'm a 37-year-old kid, and I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm allowed to feel certain ways, and I'm allowed to have certain emotions. And I'm a 37-year-old kid, so screw you guys. But I was being really pouty and bratty, and Brandon and Ariel were like, Chris, just do your fucking show. Get your shit together. And do your act, and do if we're gonna do a show. Let's do a show, y'all. Let's do a show. And so I did, and that got me focused for the rest of the week. And I just said, "Fuck it, we're doing a show, no matter what." I would have to say Tuesday was probably the best night because I had friends out there, and that was a good time. And we, Brandon and I, and Courtney, got to rock out, and So that was really fun, and I got a lot out of it. And I just felt more confident in my set. The homie JL came through on Wednesday, gave me some notes, and now I got even more homework to do, but it's a good thing, man. And I fucking love this shit, and I've been feeling pretty inspired lately, just as far as like comedy's concerned, and really trying to mine some experiences. So yeah, we had a good time. Ba 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 da ba ba ba. I'm trying to figure my life out. So Thursday was cool. Thursday did a after the show. I went out to the Bell House to the Two Dope Queens podcast taping. Jessica Williams, Phoebe Robinson. It was Jessica's birthday, and it was cool. I was invited to come to the show. Shout out to Shanoa Estrada for the booker of the show, and sent me an invite. I said I'll be there, and so I get to the show, and it's like maybe halfway done. Comedian Matt Koff was on a stage doing his thing, and I'm sitting there. It's packed. The Bell House, I had never been before, and I really like that venue. It's like it's in the Gowanus area of Brooklyn. It's like maybe like a 200 seater, but it was packed to the brim. That show was sold out, and I'm in there and watching a show. And LeVar Burton comes on stage. It was a big birthday surprise for Jessica. She had no idea. LeVar Burton of Reading Rainbow, Star Trek, Roots fame. Kunta Kinte was on stage, and he was really funny. He was trying to hit on Jessica. He wasn't trying. He was hitting on her. LeVar Burton's a married man, but it was fun. They had fun with it. It was a good time, and so that was dope. And then like I'm just thinking like I'm just gonna be there having a good time and get to like hug Phoebe, hug Jessica, and then be on my way. Just be like, you know, just see them, good show, dap them up, and you know, take my ass home. The show's almost over, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's Shanoa, the booker and Phoebe's manager. Say, hey, come backstage, and you come on stage and sing happy birthday to Jessica. I was like, oh shit. Got me like kind of like low key VIP. I mean, my name was on the list. I'm not saying that I'm a big deal, but my name was on the guest list at the venue. So I'm just telling you is I was a former drama club nerd, former JV basketball team statistician in high school, and I'm backstage with the cool kids on a Thursday night in Brooklyn, New York. Nothing, no biggie, and I'm back there. And I see some friends that were on the show, and it was cool hanging out. So got to sing happy birthday to Jessica. I took a little snap of it. It's on the Instagram. And that was really cool. So that was really dope to get to be a part of that, and had a good time. Saw some people, chopped it up. They wanted me to stay. Like it was late, and I had to get up for work the next day. And it's funny because low key I wanted to stay. And they were doing karaoke. They had a magician. They had karaoke going. And they started late doing the karaoke. And it's funny because I probably would have sung You Remind Me and threw in a Mos Def rap. So I was going to give them something that they weren't ready for. And I felt like it was Jessica's birthday. I didn't want to upstage anybody. I just wanted to pay my respects and be on. They would not have been ready for my You Remind Me Mos Def mashup. And I felt like I wanted to, I had to go to work. I had to get up at 4:30. And it's funny because at work that same day, like I was having like a heart to heart, not even really a heart to heart with my boss. I was just telling her, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get these TPS reports done. This is my plan of action. I'm going to have these things on your desk tomorrow. We're going to do this. And, you know, so that would have been some asshole shit if I called out, and that would have been some shit. I did not want to do that. So therefore, they did not get, because I know where my bread is buttered. They didn't want to they wouldn't have been ready for that Mos Def Usher mashup. And I saw, shout out to Don Will, who I didn't get to see, who was there, but I didn't get to see him. He's got an album out. You get what you pay for. Tanya Morgan, you get what you pay for. Wherever you buy your music, it's fucking dope. I told you about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's dope. It's the best thing that they've done. It's really good. It's just in the pocket, dope rhymes, dope beats. I'm a fan of those guys. I gotta find out what he texted me, because he had me laughing. Let me find it, and then we'll get you to Chelsea. You know, every time this always happens to me, but I'm going to. OK, so he said, I said, yeah. He asked me, how was the party? I was like, oh, the party was cool. I left before I had to get up early for work. They weren't ready for my Usher Mos Def mashup anyway. And then he writes back. He says, Umi says you don't have to call. I thought it was funny, and I thought I'd share that with you. Shout out to Don Will. We're going to get him back on the show. So it was really fun, and I had a great time that week. I had a great time at the Two Dope Queens party. I got a hug from Jessica Williams. I felt like a fanboy. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe she's a sweetheart. And Incredible Jessica James is a good movie. She's dope. So announcement, big announcement. By the time you listen to this, I will have a Patreon page up to where you can make donations. But when you make your donations, it's gonna unlock free episodes. It's not free because you've donated. It's gonna unlock episodes. And what I'm gonna do is I'm going to have some stuff, premium content for you guys that decide to go behind the paywall. What I'm thinking about right now is this coming week, there's a movie. I'm gonna have indie movie shit. I'm gonna have some guests. It's gonna be a hodgepodge of a lot of things, but there's gonna be some really cool content for you. So this is just gonna make the podcast better, and I'm gonna make it better for you. And have some more guests. I was in talks with some people at the Two Dope Queens party, and we're gonna get them on the show, and I'm gonna pursue them to whatever means I need to do within the law to get them on the show and to make this thing even better than it already is. So I'm just trying to take this jump to the next level and really get things popping, because I really enjoy doing this shit, and it's fun for me. And the more fun it is for me, the more fun it'll be for you. So how about that? All righty then. So let's bring you to Chelsea White. Chelsea, I've known for about 8 or 9 years. I've known her since I started doing stand-up. She was one of the first people that I met. She used to host the open mic at the now defunct Comics Comedy Club and the basement area called Ochi's Lounge. And she's just been someone in my life for the past 8 years that I've known. And she's just a really talented, vivacious person. She used to host a show called Cabernet and A, which was a Pretty Little Liars podcast I've been on several times. She hosts a show now called What a Delight with Chelsea White on Facebook Live. So you can look at past episodes. It's a Facebook page called What a Delight with Chelsea White. So you can click on that. She's got maybe 3 or 4 episodes up. And she's got a show called Show Me Your Kitty, which features some really cool people. Deezus from Deezus and Mero. Excuse me, you guys. Was on the show, and she's just a super talented person, she's back on the show, and we had a great time. So right here, right now, this is my conversation with the very delightful Chelsea White. So you were at Panorama Festival.
We were at Panorama Music Festival last night, which is great. I've been a couple years just because it's a newer festival and it's so close to me in Astoria because you basically, it's on Randall's Island, which is a little island in between like the city and Astoria. So you can walk across the little pedestrian pathway on the RFK Bridge, which no one calls it. It's a decent walk. It's about 40 minutes from my place just to like set foot down on Randall's Island. But you know, like a nice walk, especially what are you doing? You're just like going to a music festival. You got nothing but just like chill time. You can like bring some like wine to go and just have a nice little walk. But then once you get to the island, how they get you is like, then you still have to walk like another 15 minutes there to like the other side of the island. Anyways, this is riveting for everybody. But I saw Girl Talk, which is an awesome like mashup DJ who's originally from Pittsburgh.
Your neck of the woods.
My neck of the woods, which is where I'm originally from. So I love him. He was super fun. We got in the front row and that was awesome because I'm never that person that does that. But it just kind of, no one was there when we got there. And then it filled up like crazy. But and then Frank Ocean headlined, which was cool.
Cool.
And Mo, do you know Mo? She's kind of like I don't know if she's Swedish. She's not, I mean, I think wherever she's from or maybe in other countries, she's pretty popular. But here, she's like that random vocalist that's on, like you would know all the songs and never know that she was a part of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you remember the Justin Bieber? And I will jump right over into cold, cold water. It was like this huge hit this past year. Your listeners will know, especially because I just gave such a spellbinding rendition.
Will they? Okay.
So Mo's on that track. She's on an Iggy Azalea track. Whatever.
All right. No, I first of all, I just admire you for being a lovely woman in your 30s.
Well, thank you.
Going to a music festival
with the 17-year-olds. When I go to Governor's Ball every year, which is like a music festival, even probably that, listeners will know. And that, when I went this past year, I felt like creepster. Everyone was in high school. But this music festival, it felt more like people our age. But like when my boyfriend went with me and when we were walking, we literally kind of at the same time turned to each other and like said some version of like, is this the last time we're doing? Like, are we officially too old? Are we borderline? Like, we're in our mid-30s.
And it's not even like, oh, you're too old. It's just, I was having this conversation this week, actually, with somebody. We were just talking about concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of like, I love going to concerts, but festivals, it just seems like it's too much.
I agree.
Like you can't, an artist can't help the fact that they're ascending to this level of popularity and fame, but it's just like, I like them in the smaller venues.
I totally agree. And you know, I feel like, well, two things. Music festivals, I feel like if you know me, you would think, oh, Chelsea, music festival would definitively go in the column of things you would rather stab your own eyes out than like be involved with. And you would be right. I don't know what happened. Like all of a sudden, I just had a really good experience at a music festival about 5 or 6 years ago. And I was like, oh, I can get, because I don't like crowds. I don't like waiting. I don't like people significantly younger than me. It's like everything about it is just like, but I think that's when I discovered though, when I had a fun time, it was that moment where I was like, oh, but you can like, you just go to the shows that aren't as packed, or you go to the packed show, but you stand in the fucking back and you have a great time, like on the sidelines more. You don't have to push your way into the mosh pit, you know? And then I had a fun time. And then also, what was my other point going to be to that? I don't know. I lost it. I feel like I had a point that was really going to blow everyone's mind, Chris.
But it's all right.
I lost it.
Maybe we'll circle back to it. I think the thing with me is part of me is just kind of like it's laziness. And I remember, I've told the story on the show before, but I went to a concert in, I want to say like late April or May.
Okay.
And one of my favorite artists of the last 10 years, he had did this side, this guy named Chaz Bundick. His name's Chaz Bear now. He changed it. And he's got this side project with this jazz duo, these two brothers. And they were at the Bowery Ballroom, and it was a Sunday night. And I was like, I don't know if I should go to this. And I said, you know what? Let me just buy the tickets.
Yeah, and see how you feel.
And it's Sunday, and traffic's usually bad on Sunday right. on the GW Bridge.
Right.
I'm coming from Jersey. All these reasons to not go.
Right.
And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. It's a school night. Well, before, you know.
Right.
And I went there. And I had a great time.
See?
Yeah, I had an awesome time.
A lot of times, yeah, when you make yourself, you can end up having an awesome time. Also, sometimes I've made myself and thought to myself, self, you should have stayed home. I remember what I was going to say, though. Okay. We're at a cool time now, being old people, that a lot of the artists that we could have only seen in huge venues when we were younger. Now they're like playing the BB King's venues of the world. And you can like see awesome people at a smaller venue
that's true.
Just like chill with other old people, you know? So I think that's fun to be like, oh my God, like Salt-N-Pepa. I saw them at BB King and that was fun. I'm trying to think of, we were supposed to go see 50 Cent at Webster Hall and it got canceled. I don't know. I hope 50's okay. 50, my thought and prayers go out to you.
He's on power.
If you're not okay.
He's killing it on power.
So yeah, you can see like these fun, you know, artists that were too big back in the day. Now they're like, you know, playing at Olive Garden or whatever.
Yeah, I just, in my 20s, I would go to Lollapalooza a lot.
Oh, like, wow. How was that?
It was fun. Like I think Common was there 1 year.
Nice.
And Kanye West, Lupe Fiasco, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, that was fun. I just, maybe it's just, like, and then going somewhere like Terminal 5 to a show.
Yeah.
That's when it hit me. I think it was about 2 years ago, and I was like, am I too old for this shit? And I realized that I was in kind of like in the front, kind of in the mosh pit. I'm not like a mosh pit area guy,
right.
But I like being there for the show and everything. But I remember looking back at one point before the show started, there were some people that were about my age and they were in all the way in the back, like standing and leaning against this railing.
Like trying to disappear. Like
just like they're like, we're going to have a good time, but we're just going to be all the way back here.
Absolutely.
We're going to be resting. And I have like, when I go to these things like that, comfortable shoes.
Key.
Comfortable shoes.
Key.
My New Balances.
Heck yes.
Yeah.
We're not concerned about fashion anymore in our age. Right. We're concerned about function.
Yeah.
How, if with what sort of ease can I go to the bathroom in whatever I'm wearing? What are my shoes like? I'm talking specifically for women, like a romper situation. You're going to be upset you wore that about an hour and a half in. Like the third time you have to unzip your entire romper to pee, you're going to be like, this wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Ladies know what I'm talking about.
I can understand. Last night I was at Brooklyn Bowl standing outside talking to my buddy that works the door, and there were just countless the kids that were coming in. They looked like babies.
Oh yeah.
And some of them were because they had fake IDs.
Oh wow.
And they would bust. They were like busting these kids.
I still don't know how kids do that. I was such a goody two shoes. I still am. Like, I don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know the first person to call. I still don't, would.
Yeah, I never did that either. Yeah. And you could tell, like, they would take the card, and the girl would, like, smile. She'd be like, oh, they got me. I was like, so I can't get it back? And it was funny. It's funny to watch the people, like, the denizens of Williamsburg come
right.
in and out.
Right,
and just like, what's wrong with that guy? Well, that guy's a weirdo. Or what's wrong? It's just crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
My cat's walking all over your recording equipment. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's so I guess let's just really get into it.
Let's go. AMA.
How is post Pretty Little Liars life?
Oh God. Oh, I knew I was prepared for this. I knew we would probably talk about this. I have a few feelings. First of all, well, I do want to talk about how you felt about the finale. Cause we like unpacked a little bit, but not a ton. I don't miss it as much as I thought I would, which makes me very sad, if that makes sense. Because I think in the last season, I mean, I think I more than anyone was really trying to hold on, and I was still defending it. And I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, a couple episodes were stupid lately, but we still have some more episodes left, and the finale is going to be like, I still had such a positive, was trying to keep a positive attitude about it. So I wanted to love it and I wanted to believe. But all in all, I was disappointed by the last season and by the finale, which is fine. I mean, you can't please everyone. I think they did their best. But yeah, it doesn't... I expected to feel like grieving that hole in my life, and I didn't. And I think it's because I was not that invested in the last season. You know, I think if I had loved it, I would be like, oh man, they did not leave me wanting more. Which actually, thank you, Pretty Little Liars and Marlene King, because you helped me avoid the grief.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the finale?
I'm just glad. I was kind of just glad that it was over.
Yeah.
And when I did your like your post show reaction,
right?
I just felt like, okay, I was glad. I was just disappointed in the way that I told you like maybe two seasons ago that I felt like it jumped the shark.
Yeah.
And now I'm just continuing it because I've invested so much of my time to it.
Right. You had to see it through. But so you even a couple seasons ago were like over it.
Yeah. And then I felt like I was locked back in. I had with Arya becoming A, like Arya joining A's team. Right.
You like that?
I like that because I remember texting you. I was like, "I'm back in."
Yeah,
like Arya's.
I remember that. Yeah,
like dealing with this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Now maybe we got
some interesting plot twist. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it just happened to the way it happened, I was just like, "This is it," you know.
It was all just a series of letdowns. I don't remember though. Honestly, the bummer is if I'm really thinking about it. My cats are fighting. I'm so sorry if listeners can hear it. It's like happy fighting, though. They love it. I started watching live season four. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2, 3, I like binge watched like to get ready to watch season four live. I didn't want anything else happening in my life other than watching Pretty Little Liars at that time. Like seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4, I was just riveted. But then, I guess if I'm being honest with myself, season 5, I was like, I could have done without this entire season. It didn't do it for me. But I just watched every episode like, oh, but the next episode will be better. But really now in hindsight, I guess it wasn't. And then season 6 was sort of like weird. And then they did the time jump. I mean, listen, I guess now that we're talking it out, I was like, wanted to be invested and just kept believing it could get better and the show could redeem itself. Mm-hmm. But really the only time I was like super invested and like couldn't wait and like watch an episode thinking like that episode was so good was probably not since season 4. And for listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, they ended up having 7 seasons. So that's a lot of seasons to watch apathetically.
Yeah. I think they just, it ran its course.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like they had to keep stretching it because that was maybe was it because it was
right. Like they got picked up. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because I believe what happened was that seasons 5 and 6, I want to say, they got picked up like simultaneously, like, which was sort of maybe not unprecedented, but unusual. So it was like during season 4, they found out we're renewed, not just for 1 season, but for 2. So right there, you're committed, you're in. And then somewhere along during there, they were like, okay, we'll give you 1 more season. And then that's done. So yeah, that was, it's like right then and there, even if they had done season 5 and thought like, in the middle of writing, it'd been like, yeah, it's time. They couldn't. They'd committed contractually to doing another season. And then that's when it just started to get weird.
It just became this juggernaut that was this used to be this show that a coworker told me about. I was like, oh, it's pretty good. I'll follow it. The girls are pretty. And then it's on magazines all over the place.
Yeah.
It's this huge
show. It was a phenomenon when it started. Did you, though, I wanted to ask you about this then. Have you been watching the show that replaced PLL in the Freeform lineup?
The Bold Type.
You're into it.
It's not Pretty Little Liars. It's just...
But is it interesting? Like, do you look forward to watching it? Or are you just still trying to like it?
I like the girl. I like the black girl.
Okay. That's enough.
I mean, that's enough. And I think she's... I like her. And I think that's going to be the one of the only reasons why I watch... Until they show me different.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, like, it seems like the other girls are having relationship stuff, and I guess maybe she's going to be gay. The black girl's going to be gay.
Oh, interesting.
With this woman who's this artist, but she's and she's also Muslim.
Oh, wow.
So some interesting, complicated. I think I've watched 3 episodes.
And is it based on a true story? So, like, loosely?
Not that I know of.
Because I thought I remember seeing at some point it was, like, loosely based on the women who sort of reinvigorated Cosmo magazine years ago or something.
Maybe.
I want to Google that now. Listeners, tweet at us.
But it's interesting. Like, it's, I mean, I'll stick with it. I mean, I was really into Famously in Love when it, as a...
Were you into that? I forgot that you watched that.
I told you, guys. I told you and your crew.
Yeah, you were given the hard sell. I never gave it a shot. Should I?
It's a fun show.
I just think Bella Thorne annoys the shit out of me.
A lot of people say that. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm not sure any of us know why.
Okay.
It's almost like it's just written in our DNA. We intuitive that we aren't supposed to like her.
Her movie, the Netflix movie that she did was pretty good.
Which one is that?
It's like You Get Me or something okay. like that. It's like a Fatal Attraction.
Well, Bella, spoiler alert, we don't.
I think I might be the only one that watched it, me and like 4 million teenage girls.
So you don't have anything that's replaced PLL for you. PLL's a hard show to replace. I guess just so maybe not even that it's like PLL.
Riverdale.
But that you watch with such... Oh, right. Riverdale. Everyone says Riverdale.
Kelly Noonan.
Everyone says Riverdale.
She said to watch it and I was like...
I like it. Yeah. I still need to finish it, but... It's the closest I've come so far to being like, oh yeah, like I could get into this, like I could get into PLL, but
yeah,
I don't know.
There's so much TV right now. I was listening to JL Covan's podcast.
Oh yeah, I love JL. My cats drink your iced tea. I'm sorry.
And he had Brandon Collins on, and they were at an Emmy prediction show.
That's fun.
And I always thought that I watched a lot of TV, but listening to them talk, I was like, wow, I'm like, Jesus, I'm not doing enough. And it actually made me feel pretty good that I wasn't that much of a, as some, there's people out there that watch way more than me.
Right, that you're like, oh, I'm also still balancing living my life and not watching TV. Here, I used to think that I was like a complete TV aficionado, but here's a question. Did the Emmys even happen yet? Are the Emmys over?
No,
they didn't happen yet. Okay. I'm in the thing that I'm supposed to vote, but I never do. I just pay a lot of money every year to like reap none of the benefits.
Is it like the guild
Television Academy? Yeah. Okay. I applied 2 or 3 years ago and I never vote because like I'll get the thing to vote and I'll be looking at the nominees and I'm like, I never feel like I'm familiar enough with any of it.
Yeah.
To vote.
You're like, what is
not
this?
Like it's not like it's like voting for the president like it fucking matters, but I'm just like, it doesn't even feel, it feels weird to vote because I'm like, what am I basing? It's like when you go vote for like your local politicians.
Sure.
You're just like, what am I doing? I'm just like, this guy's name sounds fun. It's like, I don't know.
Well, now
I know. Now I reveal something about myself. Well, then I just stopped voting in my local elections, which I know is terrible. Not in these times.
Are you one of the white women?
We need to be doing it in these times. I mean, I am a white woman. Am I a stereotypical white woman? Oh, like, did I vote for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Chris. I hope you know me better than that.
Well, I got to make sure.
I hope you know me better than that.
I mean, you are an Eric Roberson fan.
I am an Eric Roberson fan.
So I was like, okay, I would think that she probably wouldn't vote for me.
I am a huge Hillary fan. Mm. I did not just vote for Hillary to not vote for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Hillary supporter the whole way.
How did you feel? Like,
not you, your listeners. I keep talking to your listeners like they're here with us, but they are.
They are.
They're here.
Technically, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you? How are you doing in this climate?
Well, I mean, obviously, still not as much. It's like, what will it take for me to actually take as much action as I should? Like, I'll kind of go 90% there and not follow through. Like, I subscribe to this. I will, though. Like, I've called whatever. Senator. Tried to, like, get on board with, like, calling senators, calling congressmen, like, writing to them. But I could, like, I should do it every single day. Like, why don't I do that? I subscribe to this thing where I get a text message, like, maybe every few days, where they'll bring to your attention, like, very important, you know, like, and they'll literally just spell it out for you. They'll be like, they'll text you, here are the numbers of your like senators and congressmen that you should call. here's what you should say. You know, please vote XYZ on the XYZ bill. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'll try to do that. But I wrote a card to Hillary and said, I love you. I'm sorry. That's about as far as I've gotten.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, it sucks. It's getting weirder every day. I mean, you know.
Yeah, every morning it something gets different.
Weirder. It just still sometimes seems unbelievable that this is where we are, but then also not. You know, it's like Pretty Little Liars. You want to believe that we'd do better, but you know, here's Donald Trump as president, and here's Spencer's twin. It's like apparently we just didn't do good enough.
Yeah, that's yeah, it's still kind of hard to believe sometimes when you think about it, but then it's just like it had to be. It was just, to me, it just seemed like it was a reset.
Yeah,
it was like, okay, you got this black dude in office, and now we want to reset. No matter how,
the pendulum had to swing the other way because people were too threatened.
Yeah.
People, you know what I mean? All when everyone who voted for Obama, it was like the people who didn't vote for Obama were just too fucking terrified.
Yeah.
They were like, what? Mm-hmm. You mean I'm not the most important as a fucking white dude? Like, I don't have all the power anymore.
Speak on that, please, Chelsea.
I could speak
on that a little bit.
I think,
I'm listening.
I certainly, as a white woman, have much more privilege than most people in the world. Like, I'm just like an average white woman who didn't deal with a lot of hardships in her life,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I think what made me, I had a really interesting, this will seem unrelated, but hopefully I'll connect the dots for you guys of where I'm going with this in my brain. I went to a very interesting college. Grove City College. Was super, and you're drinking iced tea out of a Grove City glass.
Yeah.
I had great, I guess, personal experiences there. And like I had some cool experiences, met a lot of people that are still my good friends to this day. But it was also a terrifying experience to see how, because it was very like most people who went there were not just Christian, but like evangelical, like the fundamentalist type of, you know, practicing Christians.
Located?
It was right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania,
right. Okay.
in a town called Grove City.
Mm-hmm.
But it's super like hard to get into, like academically, like it's, you know, well regarded and stuff. But so whatever, I went there for a lot of reasons I won't get into. But my point of all this is, I think that I decided to go there because when I was that age, I didn't drink or party. I wasn't the alcoholic I am today.
Oh.
And so I wanted to go to a school, even though I knew it would have its downfalls, I guess, or like I might feel out of place in that religion was at its center and I was not at that time religious. But I more so was like, well, but it's affordable, it's good education, it's close to home. They have a lot of activities like dance troupe and stuff that I wanted to do. And I wouldn't be the weird girl who, like, if I went to Penn State or something, which I thought I was going to go to, I wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, that's Chelsea, she doesn't party. You know, like, I didn't want that I was at that time really against drinking to define me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, though, then in getting there, it was such an eye-opening. I feel like it's the closest I'll ever come in my life, in my lifetime, as just an average fucking white woman with no hardships to... And I mean, obviously, of course, not to downplay, like, women are still, you know, of course, dealing with a lot of shit in this country every day. Mm-hmm. But point being, I feel like it was the first time that I ever felt, like a leper almost, you know what I mean? Like coming, like being honest. Cause I love to have conversations like that about how like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm not really religious. And like the way people would like treat you and talk to you, and like even people who are like outwardly being like, oh, like I care about you as a person and about your everlasting soul, but like that's why it makes me sad that you're gonna go to hell, like that sort of, you know what I mean? And it was just like, what the fuck, I thought we were friends, Karen. You're just like, what is going on?
This condescension,
the condescending, yeah. And I think it's just, and also it was just like, it was my first, I think, real window. And I come from like a rural area in Pennsylvania. So like I've been in a situation where I've heard someone say something awful about, you know, someone of another race, sure, or like someone who's gay. Like I come from not necessarily the most open-minded city in a, you know, town in America, but I think that was my first in seeing just like, it's like, it's one thing to hear somebody say something ignorant about someone of another race or someone of another sexual orientation, and you're just like, you can kind of almost write it off. And I mean, this sounds awful too, like, because you shouldn't, but like, okay, you're just a fucking ignorant human who has never been outside this tiny little farming town that you're from. And you can kind of just write them off that way. And like, you can do your best to like tell them what they're saying is wrong. And then you can be like, ultimately, they're just fucking ignorant. But then these people at this school.
Do you still deal with them after that? Like,
I guess.
Or keep them at arms?
That's a good question. It was never anyone that I was considered a close friend. Mm-hmm. It's more just like, you know, you hear like a classmate in passing, like, you know what I mean? Or like the fucking dude who works at the grocery store. Like no one gotcha. That I consider like in my tight circle that I'm good friends with. I've never had that experience with, you know, but growing up in a small rural town like that, there's people in your town, you're going to cross paths with them. Exactly. And you're mm-hmm. just like, oh, noted. But then going to like Grove City College, and here it was like this complete eye-opening experience to me where people were using, it was like such a righteous, like, no, like, gay people are evil, and it's for this reason, Chelsea. Like, don't you understand? Like, well, no, we're just better because we're Christians and we believe this, and they're just less than. Don't you understand? And it was like coming at it from this whole other, like, this righteous, and people who went to the school, presumably to get in, you had to be smart and you had to, like, you know, I mean, be well off enough to afford to go there. And it's just like the point of this is, it was scary to me to see that level of like, you're a pod person. There's no reason. You can't talk to these people. Mm-hmm. And then now Donald Trump is elected because the ignorant just completely, and not to say that these people that went to a college weren't also ignorant, but it was like mixed with this self-righteous, like, I'm coming at it with this doctrine of why I'm right. And then the just like ignorant fucks, and they've just all like risen up, and it's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I said that when it first
nothing
happened.
I said made sense. No, I feel. Did it a little bit? Okay.
That campaign was, I said it was like lemonade for racist people. It was just like their big
it's like
coming out party.
It's like Donald Trump is saying it's okay to be racist, homophobic, mm-hmm. you know, misogynistic, all of these things that are inside you. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then the thing that was a little bit heartening, I guess, so Mike Pence was the graduation speaker at my alma mater this past spring, and a lot of current students as well as alums really rose up to protest, and it's actually been very heartening that a lot of people that associate themselves with Grove City College in one way or another have finally stood up and said, Mike Pence and Donald Trump, though, do not represent like Christian values. My cat is like flirting with you, Miranda.
She just
like laid down in front of Chris and like spread eagle. She was like, hello.
That's how they do.
This is me. Yeah. But yeah, it was nice to see people finally being like breaking out of the brainwash and just being like, no, just because this was the Republican candidate doesn't mean I'm just going to blindly, like, I'm going to use my favorite word ever, like critical thinking skills, which is always my go-to of like, if I'm like frustrated with like people like that, I'm like, they just don't have critical thinking skills, which is true, I think. But so yeah, they finally like use their critical thinking skills and we're like, oh yeah, Mike Pence doesn't stand for what Jesus stood for. You know what I mean? Mm. Like,
so what did they boycott or?
There was a few different things. I mean, there were protests, but I want to say, and this is, you know, I don't want to spread false information as if anyone listening cares. They've like already forgotten the name of the college I'm talking about. But I think that they allow people to protest. I want to say that there was something I read that they weren't, like, they were kind of protesting in the town. I don't think they let the protesters come to the actual graduation speech. Like, they had certain like areas where you could protest.
Gotcha.
Also, Grove City gets away with a lot because they're one of only like two or three colleges and universities in the entire nation. It's like some small number. I want to say it's like under five that don't accept any federal funding whatsoever. And not even like you can't do federal scholarships and stuff to go there, and that so that they can do whatever they want. So technically, since they're receiving no federal funding in any way, they can do whatever they want. They can just like not let someone in and just not have to explain why, or like, yeah,
wow,
regulate like how you can and can't express yourself on campus, like, because no one can come at them since they don't accept federal funding. No one can come at them with like, well, you know, this federal law says you have to, you know, let people XYZ. It's like, they don't have to.
What's the makeup of that? Like, as far as like,
white people.
Oh, it's just all white people.
It's just white people. And then you have a cut, and then you're like, oh, there's a six, not white people. They're over there. Yeah.
No basketball teams, no basketball.
I mean, like, yeah, black. We have sports teams and they're terrible.
No, cause they don't have any black people.
Cause they don't have black people. Get your shit together, Grove City College.
How big is it? Like undergrads, like students?
I graduated. It's like 2,300.
Okay. Still bigger than my undergrad.
Really?
I think it was like 14.
No way. And your entire college?
Yeah.
Wow.
1,400 or
something. I had no idea. Okay. So you feel me.
Small liberal arts school.
Exactly. It's like, it's like, you know, going to a big high school or something.
I went to a dear white people school. I just realized that's the best way to describe it. But it was never, but for me, my journey was sort of like, maybe we talked about this shit before. My listeners know this, but it was sort of like predominantly black Catholic school from preschool to sixth grade, junior high school, seventh, eighth grade, predominantly white.
Okay.
Undergrad, like high school was predominantly black, white administration, still a good mix of different types of kids, but predominantly black.
Right.
And then when I got to undergrad, I wasn't shell-shocked.
Got it.
It wasn't like, you know,
right.
It's sort of like you have to be able to be around everybody in order to exist.
Right.
And I mean, like for a minority, it's just you have to be having an awareness of what's going on around you. And then whereas a white person, you don't have to live that way unless you choose to, unless you're just like, oh, this interests me. I want to be around different types of people that are different from me. So it was never like, oh my God, all these white people.
Right.
So it's just like, it's like go to college, have fun, graduate in 4 years.
Right.
That was my job.
Right.
So, but it was definitely, that gives me the vocab, that show and movie gave me the vocabulary to say, oh yeah, I went to a dear white people school. Small liberal arts. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, there was some cultural stuff, like just like, why do you have that stocking cap on your head, Chris? Why are you
really? People would ask you something.
Yeah,
that?
Like the wave caps.
That's
like
interesting.
When I would try to have waves.
Oh my God! Well, that's like, yeah. I'm trying to even remember specifically. Like we had, I mean, there definitely were like a handful of people who weren't white. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of people that were gay.
Yeah.
But didn't necessarily, even at that time, like outwardly, because I mean, at a fucking evangelical Christian college at that time, I mean, this was, you know, 10 years ago, like 15 years ago, because we're old, you know. So at that time, too, it was like, even, you know, it's crazy to think how far we've come in a short, even 10 or 15 years with like, you know, acceptance of, you know, different sexualities. So imagine it at this time. And yeah, it was, people call it the bubble, the Grove City College bubble. Cause it is, it's just like minds reinforcing one another and no one challenging anyone. And that's where I liked to think I would try to come in and be that voice of like, but did you ever think about it this way? And then like, you would just like, I could, you know, witness people's brains exploding in front of you and you'd be like, okay.
And it was like just like
it was
this.
Just like psh, like what? I never thought about it another way. Chelsea, she's a witch. Get her. Get the witch.
Did you ever go out like to Pittsburgh, to the city, to like hang out and stuff?
We would sometimes, yes, but still like not. It would be in a group of us that like we'd have a specific like we're gonna go into Pittsburgh to like see this because the town is so small. We had like one movie theater, showed one movie. It's so, like we go to Pittsburgh to see a movie, or we'd go to Pittsburgh to see, to like specifically like go out to this certain restaurant and maybe like. like go dance somewhere, but like it wasn't like I was then going and mingling. I was still just like hanging out with the college people,
college
you know,
kid, hanging out with your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
what's Pittsburgh life? I don't think I've ever had anybody on the show.
Oh my gosh, Pittsburgh. I mean, I am so biased and I get so defensive of it because I love it and it's, you know, my
Rust
home,
Belt City,
but
right?
Yeah, because I think people still, a lot of times I encounter people who seem to just have this idea of Pittsburgh, yeah, like the way it was in the 70s and totally Rust Belt, like, you know, steel town.
Yeah.
And kind of like, yeah, kind of dirty, kind of, yeah, dirty steel town. And it's completely, I mean, it's new, it's clean, there's so much to do, so much culture, like it's such a beautiful city. And it is, you know, people say it's like, and I'm sure they say this about a lot of other cities too, I can already hear listeners like being like, that's just like, I can't think of another city right now.
Cleveland.
But yeah, it's like, that's a small town. It's a big city that feels like a small town. Like people there kind of have that small town, like, hey, how are you? You know what I mean? And like, wanting to be welcoming. But yeah, but so I grew up about an hour and a half north of Pittsburgh in a town called Clarion, which was very, very small, and then went to my college was right basically halfway in between Clarion and Pittsburgh proper. Mm-hmm. But Pittsburgh was, you know, where if you wanted to go to a real mall, like we would go school shopping, there. Like, okay, Saturday, kids, we're getting in the car, we're going to go to Pittsburgh, go to the big mall, you know? Yeah. So that was like, you know, we got the Pittsburgh news. We got, so for all intents and purposes, I think of myself as, you know, a Yinzer. Go Steelers. This is going to be our last good year. We're losing Ben after this
What's
year.
What's a Yinzer? What's that?
Yinz is like the Pittsburgh form of y'all.
Oh.
So instead of saying y'all, they say like, Yinz going to go downtown and that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yinz going to go school shopping?
Because that is like closer to the, because Pittsburgh's like, six hours away
from here. West? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 8 or 6. I mean, my little, yeah, I would say to get into Pittsburgh like proper downtown would probably be a good 8 hours from New York City, but then where I'm from is like 6.
Because I remember thinking about you on my way back from Cleveland. I did a festival like 2 years ago and I was like, oh, that's Chelsea's hood.
Yeah right on Interstate 80.
Yeah,
exit right off there.
I have an appreciation for the Midwest and towns like that because, I mean, like, people shit on Cleveland a lot.
Yeah.
And it definitely seems like it's coming back. Detroit seems like it is. Like, people that I've talked to.
Absolutely.
That have lived there. And I don't know. It's just like, it definitely had a vibe. Cleveland, to me, because I lived in Chicago for 5 years.
Right, right.
And that was definitely, it was just something about that I constantly talk about on the podcast where it's like you learn how to do your craft, especially as an actor, a performer.
Totally.
It's where you learn how to do what you need to do and you take that elsewhere. But then like Pittsburgh seemed to, well, from what I know about it, August Wilson, one of the greatest American playwrights.
100%.
All of his shit was set there.
Yep. Fences from this past Academy Award season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's based in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And then I think the only other thing I remember about Pittsburgh, other than the Steelers, was what's that movie? The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I think that was
that one shot there? It might have been.
I think they did. I think, like,
I believe you.
What's the famous bridge? Is there like some bridge or something?
Oh, there's, well, I mean, it's three rivers. So there's like bridges.
Yeah.
There's three rivers that like are, that go through Pittsburgh. So then there's like bridges everywhere.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh's like the worst city to drive in because you can't just be like, oh shit, I wasn't supposed to turn there. Let me just go around the block. You're like, no, now I'm like on the other side of a river and now I'm 20 minutes to get back to where I was.
That,
you know,
sounds,
what I mean?
That like sounds like Jersey.
You're just like going in circles. Yeah, it's a nightmare. But there's a lot. Michael Keaton from Pittsburgh. Who else is from Pittsburgh? Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, yeah.
Christina Aguilera. She was born in Staten Island, but she grew up in Pittsburgh, in Wexford. But there is...
Mac Miller.
There's a... Yep. There's a few... Oh man, there was just a movie recently that I saw that was filmed in Pittsburgh. They shoot a lot of stuff in Pittsburgh. More and more, they're shooting stuff in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, just vamp. I'm
vamping.
Going
there's lots of stuff they shoot in Pittsburgh. Dude, there is. Well, this isn't Pittsburgh proper. It's a little town outside of Pittsburgh, but I used to go there a lot because my mom's best friend lived there. It's called Katanning. But there, do you remember the film, The Mothman Prophecies?
I remember the film.
Do you
film.
Remember that? They filmed that in this little town that's like near me and near Pittsburgh, and where they, because they specifically needed, when you said bridge, it reminded me.
Yeah.
It's about this bridge collapsing. They specifically needed a bridge that they could legit, I think they legit like blew it up in real life or something, like to film this thing. And it was just so cool that they did it in Little Katanning. But yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is Perks of Being a Wallflower? Are you right?
Yeah, so do you know, let's see if any of these things ring a bell to you. The Fort Pitt Tunnel?
Of course.
Peters Township High School?
Definitely.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Fort Pitt Bridge on Interstate 376.
Fort Pitt Tunnel. Yeah, there's a lot of...
King's Family Restaurant.
There's a lot of tunnels and bridges. A lot of, you know, going on field trips to Pittsburgh and doing the, like, I'm going to hold my breath through this tunnel.
Oh, really?
We never could. We never could. I never could. The tunnels are long.
Carnegie Mellon.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Ian Harding, who plays...
He's from there?
Who plays, what's his fucking face? Ezra in Pretty Little Liars, which we were talking about. He went to Carnegie Mellon.
A lot of people came from there. Did, Gillian Jacobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well... regarded, but you should go to Pittsburgh. So no, I'm going there. I've never been to an NFL game, so I'm going the weekend of my birthday in October. I usually go home around my birthday because there's a festival in my hometown,
the Clarion,
the Autumn Leaf Festival.
I think we talked about that.
I'm
the last
sure.
Time
I feel
on.
Like I probably somehow talk about it on every podcast. I feel, but yeah, it usually falls around the weekend of my birthday. This time it falls like exactly then, and there just so happens to be a home Steelers game.
Who do they
and
play?
It's like my 35th birthday, so I'm like forcing a lot of my hometown friends. I'm like, okay, you're coming home, we're gonna do birthday things. And then yeah, they're playing the Jaguars, so it's gonna be a shitty game.
They should win that.
Yeah, so I mean, they'll give let's
you,
hope
they'll give you a W on your birthday.
My birthday, yay. So yeah, I'm excited to do that in a couple months, and it's been a minute since I've been to Pittsburgh like proper. I mean, you know, because if I go home, I usually just go home to Clarion. But my little sister's getting married next June in Pittsburgh. So I'm hearing a lot of like, you know, a lot of venue talk, a lot of reception talk. Yes, a good old fashioned Pittsburgh wedding.
That's good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And now Miranda is about to lick her butthole right on top of your audio equipment.
Oh, wow.
Oh no, she's flirting with you again.
How old is she?
She is just like 6 months. Oh, that reminds me. I need to call. It's time for her to get her little ovaries chopped out or whatever that is.
Jesus.
It's time.
As I'm petting her, like talking about
girl,
getting her,
you'll be a woman.
Her womanhood
soon.
Taken away from her. Like she's like a
Do you see how her little whiskers are kind of like ragged?
Why is that?
She got their eggs like on the stove, and she like she just got her face really close to be like, what's up?
And it singed it.
And it wasn't like, didn't actually singe it, but she was just so close and the heat was so hot that it made them like curl up from the heat. Don't worry, people listening. No animals were harmed. They'll grow back. They're just, it's like, you know, I feel like other people don't know that. It's like whiskers. I mean, it's like fur, like human hair, like they fall out and then come back all the time. Like I'll always find little whiskers around. Yeah, so she's fine. No Miranda Hobbs were harmed.
Okay,
that happened to Tanuki too, but with Tanuki they actually did get a little bit singed.
How old is Tanuki?
Tanuki's like 4.5.
In people years?
In people years, yes.
Okay.
Like 5.5 in people years. So I don't even know. I forget how cat ears work.
Okay.
Do you know how they work?
No, I don't know
either.
Anything about.
I feel like, I mean, Miranda's like a teenager, I guess. No, would she be a teenager yet? Maybe she's like middle school.
She's like staring at me. She's like, you stop petting me.
She
asshole
is the she's like, friendliest, snuggliest cat I've ever met in my entire life. I'm confused by her. I've never known a cat to be like her. She's just like upset if someone's not touching her and paying attention to her at all times. I mean, she's like a dog.
She's very high maintenance.
She is. She's just a real diva. And then Tanuki is over there. Just Tanuki's kind of a dick, but that's why I like him.
Wasn't he? I'm trying to remember how he was like 4 years ago when the last time you were. It's crazy that it's been that long.
It's crazy, right?
It's like because you were in the first batch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of
Monday
Festival.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So I mean, look how far we've come.
Look how far we've God. That's not a real song. I almost was going to wear, because I can see in my head the picture that we have of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm sitting here and I'm wearing my Steelers.
It's my...
And I'm holding my Steelers mug.
It's your phone pic, if I can find it. It's like, you know how you put...
Yeah, to attach it to someone's, yeah. So I almost wore the Steelers again. Yeah, exactly.
That's you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I look so youthful or hungover. It's hard to say.
You're all right.
But I thought I'd wear... I almost wore Steelers again to celebrate the moment, but then I thought I went... I have a sweatshirt on that has a picture of three cats, and it says, Insane Cat Posse. I just think it's fun.
We'll get a pic and put it on the gram.
Okay, great. Oh, shit. I'm not camera ready. That's fine. Yeah, I like when we do this podcast that, Chris, you come... It's home delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the people to do it. And so then I'm wearing literal pajamas and I'm unkempt and I'm hungover. Because no, I thought, I was like, you know, Chris, you've seen me at my best, at my worst. I'm not trying to impress you. And then,
wow, that's fucked up.
And then
I don't give
you've
a
already
fuck
seen
about,
me at my worst, Chris. We I can't really, go any lower.
I don't give a shit.
And then like the listeners, they don't know now that I told them now I gave myself away. But that's the beauty of podcasts.
That's true. Speaking of podcasts.
Yes.
You are like, I guess, yeah, well, let's do podcasts first.
Let's do it.
Ghosted Stories.
Yes.
How did that come out?
Okay,
come about?
So, yes.
And tell everybody about it and what it's about, and then how it came about.
Go into it. So yeah. I have a podcast called Ghosted Stories, and it's about, we're about a year old, I guess. We're probably coming up on a year. I want to say we launched in... August or September of last year, and I do it with my co-host Erin Leaf, who is a phenomenal writer. Is Miranda? Oh, she's maybe chewing on your here. Do you want me to get? Don't be afraid to push her onto the floor.
I don't
want to
push her here on the floor,
Miranda. Don't just be nice.
I guess she got mad that I didn't stop petting her.
Exactly.
Okay.
She's like staring you down now. She's like, we'll meet again. Anyway, so. Yes. And it is about, if you guys are familiar with the term ghosting, as it relates to dating, getting ghosted, where someone just completely stops communicating with you when you thought things were going okay, and they don't give any explanation. So it's obviously been something that's been happening as long as dating's been happening, but recently the word ghosted is like, you know, in the zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to do a podcast, about ghosting, getting ghosted. And also just dating in general, you know, I mean, that's the hook, and we'll have people come on and tell epic ghosting stories of, like, you know, the very first episode was one of Aaron's friends who told a story about she was dating this guy for like literally 2 years and then he just ghosted her. So we have crazy tales like that. And then we have people who will talk about, like, Chris, you were on, you know,
I was on.
People tell multiple stories. Like, you know, you told a few, I feel like, well, one was a ghosting, and then like you continue to tell a couple.
I just told one about, like, after my Caroline show.
That was the one? I thought you told. Maybe I'm thinking of it was the two parts, but it was single.
Well, the topical shit that we did.
That's what it was.
We talked about blind dating.
That's what it was.
You know what I think? I think that the girl... I never went out with that girl that I was supposed to... was supposedly being hooked up with.
Right.
I don't know why. Maybe she heard the episode.
Oh, no.
Freaked her out. I don't know.
It's possible.
Maybe she's just a fucking weirdo.
She could be a fucking weirdo. She could have heard the episode. I always love to think that maybe the people the stories are about, I mean, as the ones specifically that we're calling out for being like shitty people with no manners, like hear the podcast and are like, oh my God. But the dream. So sometimes people will tell just like stories, crazy dating. It doesn't have to be specifically ghosting all the time. Like, we just talk about like dating horror stories, and like we'll have conversations just about dating in general for every episode. And my dream, which finally we did make it happen, is having someone like the ghost on and reunite with the ghosted and just like mediate live on the podcast. And we finally made it happen.
How do you feel like that went?
I thought it was fun. It wasn't like a true ghosting. You know, it wasn't like, and now here's, you know, Frank, who hasn't talked to Karen in 3 years and they, you know, used to live together. Like, I don't know. It wasn't that dramatic, but I thought it was fun.
It was, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
It seemed like the guy was just like, we just stopped hanging out.
Right.
It's like, we had a good time. And
then that was it.
I was dealing with some shit and...
Right.
That was it.
Exactly. And I think in a lot of the more mild ghostings, that's what it, like, one person just maybe, if everyone's being honest with themselves, is just more into it than the other person.
Yes.
And the other person maybe just wasn't even thinking, oh, I ghosted you. They're just like, oh, I don't know. I was seeing a few people and just, it just fizzled out with us.
Yeah.
But then there are those ones for sure. And those are the ones that I want to have on, the people that know that right. they took the coward's way out and that they were actually like in a relationship with this person and just fucking yeah. cold turkey, stop talking. But yeah, we've been doing some live shows, which is fun. We did our second live right? show with E.A. Hanks and Jesse Jollis. That was fun. And yeah, we're going to try to do more of those. It's just fun. Like, I'm just passionate because now I'm in a relationship. At the time, I was single when I started it. And Aaron has been in a relationship, my co-host, for years. That's actually how we met, because I've been friends with her boyfriend for a while through comedy. So it was supposed to be me kind of being like, oh my God, I'm crazy and single and what's going on?
Sure.
And, you know, and then Aaron being like, I'm in a relationship. I live with my boyfriend. I'm going to be the voice of reason. And it's kind of evolved. I mean, you know, it's interesting. We definitely do have different points of view. I think we have such, I have fun doing it with her. I feel like we have a really nice rapport
yeah.
and a back and forth. Like, I think we have enough. It's like some things we really dovetail on and some things we kind of do have different points of view on. And I think it's a nice sort of dynamic. And then, yeah, I'm just passionate about shared experiences, human experiences, mm-hmm. like connecting in, you know, lots of aspects in life. But then specifically when I was dating a lot, I was very interested in, I'm just interested in the idea of being candid about things that we aren't often candid about, you know? And yeah. I think like dynamics in dating, there's so much sort of like unspoken and like
yes.
weird, where if people would just be like, hey, here's actually what I'm thinking, actually what's going on with me. Hey, I actually, you know, we haven't talked in a while because I was seeing someone else at the same time and it got more serious with them. Like, sorry. I just feel like those are the basic things that we're just still, for some reason, afraid to like say out loud to the other person. And also just because I think when you're dating a lot, especially in New York or like in any city, especially at our age, like it's easy to think you're the only one going through certain things or having
yeah.
certain experiences. And so I'm very passionate about being candid about anything that is going on in my life, because you know at least one other person, if not millions and billions, are having that same experience, and then hearing you talk about it will make them feel like, ah, we're all okay.
What I like about the show is the fact that it's just good for me to get like the feminine perspective
yeah, there
on,
you go.
On dating relationships.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, where they're coming from.
Get some tips.
I think I've just made it a point I don't know if it was in the last year or two to just try to be more aware of, like, listening to more podcasts with women on them and getting that perspective
yeah.
and how you view certain things. So it's just like, oh, it's good to get that insight.
Have you ever heard someone talking about something a guy did or said and kind of been like, oh man, I've done that and never even thought about it or thought it would be a thing? Sort of, not really.
I mean, not really, because most of the time, I'm going to sound like
go in.
I try to be honest up front.
Right.
And then, like, when I did the show, I felt like, you know, sometimes me being clear with my intentions sometimes can be like off-putting or I think sometimes that freaks people out.
Right. Right. Like, meaning when you're being kind of forward about like, hey, I'm into you. I want to take you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just,
cause I think we're at this point conditioned as women to be like, I feel like so many guys aren't confident enough to be honest.
Yeah.
And so then when a guy is, it's like, oh, it's sort of, it is almost like I cannot compute. Like, I'm so used to the game of who can care less.
Yeah, that,
especially in New York City.
Yes.
It's definitely the game of like who can care less. And that's like socially what it's conditioned to be right now.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think you articulated that in a way that I don't think it's ever been articulated.
Oh my God.
But it just seemed like
mark it down.
It just fits, because it's just like, yeah, well, I don't I'm just going to this thing. I don't care. So
it's not a date. It's like whatever. Oh, we're just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's like, no, everyone's afraid to even like call it a date practically, which is so bizarre. And like, everyone's afraid to act like give something a label. Cause even like, and I've probably been guilty of this. Cause I want to say, even I remember talking about a guy recently on the podcast, and that he said something like, oh, well, he was talking to me. This is when my boyfriend and I were broken up for a little bit. And he was like saying to me, oh, and then I told her like, oh, I'm seeing somebody. And in my head at that moment, I was like, you're seeing somebody? What the fuck, dude? We went on like 3 dates. Back the fuck up. But why did I have that reaction? Because it's like, yes, we are
seeing each other.
That's what it is. You're dating. And it's like, obviously there is a difference between being like, we are dating in an exclusive sense.
Sure.
But technically, if you go out on 2 or 3 dates with someone, you're dating.
Yeah.
You are dating. You went on, you hung out multiple times and have plans to hang out in the future. Like, you're dating. It doesn't mean like you're exclusive, but it's just, I think we've attached all this like meaning and power to these certain terms, or everyone's afraid to like exactly even say date or this. It's always just like hanging out. It's like, what? We're adults.
It almost seems like it's a cultural thing to just not give a fuck about anything.
Yes, totally.
To where it's like, no, I care. Like, I remember. Nah, I talk about this on stage, but it's just like trying to get it right.
Yeah.
Like trying to put the best foot forward, where it's like, I hear women on shows, on podcasts, or in general, I don't know where, like, you're going out with somebody, and where do you want to go? Well, where do you want to go?
Exactly.
And like, I want a guy to make plans and say, we're going to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so you want to put the effort forward to just say, well, this is me taking that step to try to make good
and
things happen.
God bless you, Chris, for taking a stance. Hard.
No, I would say God bless you, because you, like, with your show, like, you put yourself out there. You're like, I'm trying to do this. Like, I'm trying to, like, it's work. It's like going out and doing a set. Like, I'm going to do a set tonight. I'm going to.
When you're dating, and absolutely, when I was out there dating a lot, you have to treat it like a job. You have to, if you're serious about it. If you just want to fuck around, and that's great too, and that can be a lot of fun too. But if you're really looking for a relationship, which a lot of, and I think we talk about this on Ghosted Stories in recent episodes, but like, there's a big stigma with like women seeking, like being like, I want a relationship, and like going after what they want. And I really applaud Bumble, and they've done a big ad campaign recently, kind of like flipping the stigma about like being thirsty. And it's like, no, ladies, it's like, yeah, I hope that you're, like, I'm butchering their campaign, but you know, it's like basically the sentiment is like, I hope that you are like seeking what you need to like stop, like, good for you for being thirsty, acknowledging what you need, and then fucking go find it. You know what I mean? Like, that shouldn't be stigmatic. And we specifically use this thing, talk about this on the podcast. They gave the example of like Anne Hathaway when she won her Oscar, when she got nominated, she was very candid about how excited she was to be nominated. And people went after her for that.
They hate her.
Why can't she be? And that's a whole other thing too. It's like, who knows why people specifically don't like Anne Hathaway, but it's like, there is a stigma of like women being like, yes, I want this, I'm going after it. It's like, you're supposed to be kind of like, I don't know, that was crazy. Like, that was so weird that happened. Like, what? I'm such a cool girl. I like don't really care. Like, what? It's weird that this happened. It's like, no, you go after, and I know I specifically also said this on the podcast like recently, like, if we, this was one of our frequent guests on both Ghosted Stories and Cabernet A, my friend from college, Kelly, she was seeing this guy who sent her this article that was about like, we put effort into everything about like lives. Like, we go after our careers in a very methodical way and take steps to achieve our careers. We take steps to like, if we want to own a house, why would you not? Why do you think you're just gonna, you didn't just like walk into a bar and think that someone is gonna give you your dream job. Why would you think you're just gonna keep walking into bars the rest of your life and happenstance meet your life partner, right. your life partner, like probably the most important decision you'll ever make.
That's
and not
true.
To say you can't just meet them in a bar, but point being, and you should be going into bars then methodically and making a point to go there every night and like meeting people and finding out what types of people go there, whatever. It's like you should be going after finding a life partner if that's what you want, mm-hmm. which you also don't have to want that. But if you do want that, why aren't we being as methodical about it? It's like not socially and culturally acceptable to be as methodical about it yeah. as other aspects of our life, which makes zero sense.
I don't fucking get it.
It's crazy.
And then they're like, well, I'm divorced.
Right. It's like, oh, because you just like happenstance married the person who you like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just happened to go to high school with. And that's terrible. I shouldn't. There are people that
shots
met
fired.
In high school and like, but you know, I think people
that were just lucky or the
people
or
that were just lucky
made and, that decision.
And then some people, you know, I think they're just like, oh, well, this person is here. And it's like, they don't take the time to really find out, do we have the same values even? Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. do we have, cause it is, it's a lot more than just, I mean, you know, obviously I hope I'm not telling listeners anything they don't know. It's like, it's, you have to go into just making it the decision that we are going to make this work or don't, or then don't worry about getting married or don't worry about being monogamous. Like those are also choices you can make and bring happiness as well. But you know, I don't know. Do you think though, what's your stance on marriage?
I believe in it.
Yeah.
I would like to have that one day, but I don't think that I'm putting enough work in it.
Yeah.
I'm putting too much work into stand up.
Well, and that's the problem too, because it's hard to be as driven about multiple things that way at yeah. once. And you have to sometimes say, okay, this is on the back burner because I need mm-hmm. to focus on my career. You have to do that.
Yeah, because it's just like I said this on your show, as brutal as show business is, it's never done me like a woman has. Yeah. So it's kind of like you show business is you hear no all the time.
Yeah.
Or you don't hear shit. Like you yeah. get ghosted. You get ghosted. Like you go to an audition.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, that was good. So can you make those dates? Are you available for those dates? Yeah. Would you cut your hair? Would you shave your beard?
Like, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Anything.
If you book me, yeah.
Of course.
And then you don't yeah. hear from them.
Yeah.
You never fucking hear from them again. And you just have to, the older that I've gotten, the more perspective I have on it, though, where it's just like, I do the thing. Like, I had this audition for this movie, which was a lead in a movie.
Amazing.
And it was great. I just, you know, I put it on tape in my manager's office. But some of those auditions, some of those things are harder to put to the back burner because you start daydreaming about what your life could be like,
right.
about changing your life, changing in such a positive way.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much do you let yourself have that? And then how much do you just kind of center yourself and just say, well, I did that thing. That would be amazing if it happened.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
yeah,
I'm good for bus driver on the blacklist for now. I wanted that part so bad.
My God, how long ago was this?
This was last week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, for the movie thing?
Yeah, the movie thing.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Movies take a little long. I remember auditioning for the movie that I did with Melissa McCarthy in December. And I found out about it in like maybe like mid, like right before Christmas, auditioning for it. And then filming it in like February. So
okay.
maybe finding out like mid-January.
Okay, so like a little bit of, yeah.
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 So you never know.
You never know. I'm still waiting on auditions from like 2008. I'm still holding out hope. I'm like, well, they never said I didn't get it. Maybe the project's just on hold.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, man. But yeah, so it's just kind of like because I'm talking about this on stage where you think about your life and you think it's going to be one way and then it
yeah.
ends up, you're like, and then you just like, I'm not going to settle for this, but God, it would just be good to get this piece of the pie. Just this small 100%. Slither would just be.
Yes.
So.
And that's a delicate balance, I think, between, like you're saying, not completely being like, well, fuck it.
Yeah.
And this is enough. Or I'm going to. But also, I think there's also a misconception, or there's no like shame, or it's not a negative thing to readjust your goals and readjust. Right, right. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's very healthy. And I think also reminding yourself not to focus then on the things that maybe you hope to achieve and still had it, or hoped to achieve and still have it, but then looking at the things that you did that you forget to just pat yourself on the back for and be like, but look at these things. You know, it's, I think it's easy, especially for me. I can very easily get to a place where I just notice myself even like just hang out with good friends and just doing the like, oh, how have you been? Like just the standard chit chat. And like, I just never have anything positive to say. I feel like this has been this way the past couple of years.
Really?
And it's such, cause I don't feel, I would say on a day to day, I would consider myself like a happy person. Like, of course I get frustrated. Of course I have goals and I'm like, oh, just like how much longer can I pursue this one goal? Of course there's, you know, things like that in my life. But I would say on a day to day, even if I'm like stressed about something, even if whatever, I would say that I am more glasses half full. Like I day to day, like I love my life. I wake up like happy most of the time. But then for some reason, when people will ask me like, oh, how's it going? I immediately go to like, it's like, I want people to know how stressed I am or something. I don't know. Mm. Like I'll be like, well, I mean, this thing, and I signed this contract and it's taking forever. And like, I don't know, I have to work late on this thing. And I'm just listening. I'm like, why are you, what? I don't know if it's like almost a defense mechanism thing where you're like, well, I got to tell people these things that are on my mind or like that I'm stressed about or aren't going my way, so they know I'm thinking it, so that they're not thinking it. Like almost one of those, like in high school, you're going to make fun of yourself before someone makes fun of you. Like, you know what I mean?
Like you, you be rabbit yourself, like an 8 mile.
Yeah, exactly. It's, well, like, I don't know. Or is that just like a human nature thing where we somehow, is that also just a human nature, even maybe like a female thing? I think sometimes to kind of like downplay, like, you know, the very typical like woman thing of like, oh my God, I love that dress. Oh, this, oh, it was like on sale. Oh, yeah. I like found it in a dumpster. It's like, we have to like, it's almost like we can't give credit. Like we have to put down like when someone else is trying to say something nice, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. That was a little bit of a tangent, but my point is, I think I very easily will fall into this like mind spiral of like getting so caught up in those things that you're still waiting for, you're still working on.
Yeah.
To the point where I started a Google Doc of like all the things in my life that now at this point seem like just normal and like mundane to your podcast.
Yeah.
That I take for granted that 10 years ago were a goal of mine and that was really exciting. Even just like living in New York City, making a living and living in New York City. Like I should wake up so psyched about that every day.
Yeah.
You know, and just those little things and reminding yourself like you did though these things.
Definitely. I mean, I think part of it could be like, when you're speaking to like, I'm going through this, I'm going through all this, is stressed out. Maybe you want that person to say, hey, it's going to be okay.
True.
Through this too. Well, this is what I'm going through.
And right.
Maybe it's just part of not wanting to feel like you're alone in the struggle. True. It's just fucking adulthood.
True. Yeah.
You know?
Right. And I guess it's also a little bit, even if it's a bummer, it's more interesting than being like, great, Karen.
Because then you know the people that are going to listen to you, like really listen to you.
Right.
And then those who probably aren't.
Right.
So it's like, it's always good for me because like doing my day job, you just kind of slogging away and doing what you have to do. And it's always good for me to come like talk to you.
Yeah.
Do shows, you know, the stuff that I'm doing, being around my peers that I really have a connection with, or you feel like you're in a part of the struggle.
Yeah, for
sure. And you're just like, okay, this is where I'm at home. Like I remember going, like this week I went to the Two Dope Queens taping, like on Thursday night, and it's funny because so this is what happened. So I got my review at work, like my 6 month review.
Okay,
it was good. Okay. It was like improvements, blah blah blah. I can keep my job for a little bit. Phew. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember just talking to my boss about something. And we were just having a conversation. Like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to do this, this, and this with this program. I'm working on this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to have this for you tomorrow, these reports, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, this is a good week. This is a good work week. So right. This is Thursday. I go do my show. That's fun. Go over to see Phoebe and Jessica do their thing.
Nice.
Awesome night. Cool people. Network and all that shit. It's great. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to start karaoke. And it's like 12 a.m. And I got to be up at 4:30. And I was like, I can't do that. As much as I would love to, I told my boss that I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. So I can't fucking do that. As much as I want to.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted them to hear my Usher Mos Def mashup, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But
I love karaoke.
I think I told my parents, I was talking to my parents yesterday, and I was like, yeah, this is a good week at work, but my mistress was tempting me last night. Like, they're just, oh, come do karaoke, come hang out, come do blah, blah, blah. And I was like, as much as I want to, I can't. I know where my bread's buttered for now.
Absolutely. And that's another, I mean, I could talk about that forever.
Talk about it a little bit.
I mean, just having a career like that, the paying your bills side of your career that's demanding and that you have to, you know, prioritize to some extent because they're paying your bills. And it just, right when I kind of stopped doing stand up, that was like one of the reasons I kind of reached a breaking point where I was like, I cannot, there is no way with the job I have and the demands of the job that I had at that time that I could ever put in the work that I need to with doing stand up and competing with like the people, and this is not meant as shade, but like the guys and girls that are really in it, like, and that stand up was their passion and they're like walking dogs and stuff that, and I mean that only in a way of like, and not to say that that doesn't take up time, but still in a lot of ways. And I can already hear like one of my friends who he gets texts at all times of the day and night, like, oh, and I forgot, can you like feed my dog 7 times this weekend? Sorry, I forgot to tell you. So like, I'm not in any way trying to say it's not as demanding, but, and him aside, but like there are other people that I know for a fact are just kind of like, I'm just like kind of part-time walking dogs. I'm kind of part-time. Like I do at this coffee place like one day a week for an afternoon. It's just at the end of the day, not to say that those jobs don't have their own demands, but your brain space, you aren't working as much as me and the demands are not as much, and good for you because then those are the people that, those are the Mark Normans of the world. Like he was a janitor and now he's fucking making a living doing stand up because he got a job that allowed him to put all the energy and brain space he needed into stand up. Mm-hmm. And it's like my job, and stand up was never my goal anyway. So it's kind of a bad analogy, but the point being like you come to that breaking point where you're just like, if you have a job that is truly like a career job that is demanding and you're getting fucking crazy client emails at 9 o'clock and you know, you can just never compete with the people who are working at a coffee shop 2 days a week.
Well, then then that struggle's relative, right? Because it's almost like, I want to live comfortably.
Right.
I don't want to just, I want to be a good stand-up, but that doesn't mean that I have to be poor.
Right, right.
You know, like, and that doesn't mean that I can't compete on that same level as other people that don't do that, because I've been in situations when I was with those people that are heralded and I can hold my own. I have that, I have the confidence in myself, so I know that part of me, like, I feel like I'm missing out, I'm not hanging out late enough, but it's like, you, like I said, I know where my bread's buttered. You have to do what you feel is right for you.
And it's a balancing act. And like, I think, I sometimes used to feel guilty or feel like, well, I guess I just don't want it bad enough because I've never had anything in my life, I don't think. And again, like stand up to me was always, I started doing stand up because I thought it'd be fun and because I saw it as a platform to do more of the stuff I'm doing now, which is hosting, be it podcast, web series, the hosting stuff I do is what I was passionate about. And I saw stand up as a stepping stone to that. But even then that stuff, like I was never at a point where I would be like, the only thing that would make me happy in this world is hosting the Tonight Show someday. That is literally it. Nothing else matters. And for that reason, I'm so passionate about that being my one and only desire that I will sleep on the street. I will do whatever it takes. I never had that. I was like, I would love this. I would love a lot of, it's like, I can see a lot of different ways my life go, you know,
yeah,
my life going sure. a bunch of different ways that would all make me equal amounts of happy. So I never had that fire in me that I think some people do, and to their fucking credit, that they are, like you're saying, they're like, I'm going to sacrifice quality of life. I'm going to do X, Y, Z to make it happen. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes my job annoys the shit out of me, but it's also pretty fun and they pay me pretty good. And so I'm just going to burn the midnight oil and spread myself maybe too thin and drive myself a little crazy sometimes trying to, you know, straddle that line of like yeah. doing right by my career, which also is not to say, you know, sometimes my job does drive me crazy, but it also, this is going back to my Google Doc of things to remind myself to be grateful for. What I'm getting paid to do during the day was my dream at one point. And maybe still, and sometimes yeah. in some ways is, but I just, it does. So it's not like I'm resentful of it or like, oh God, this fucking day job I have, like it is my career and I'm proud of it. But I just wish it dovetailed more within my performing stuff. I wish they could coexist more, and I feel yeah. like they should be able to. And I can't understand why I haven't been able to help them coexist more. They still feel like at odds.
Because you were one of the people on the show when I first started this
yes.
endeavor.
Oh, many years. We were younger then.
You were someone I looked at as a person that you went to school for A,
mm-hmm.
and you started doing that. You started doing A when you got out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and then I guess as you get older, you things change.
Your goals
change.
Maybe I want to
do this. Yeah. So
absolutely.
So that's
absolutely.
It just seems like a natural progression.
Right.
Whatever the things that you're doing now, and we'll get to yeah. them a little bit. But it never seemed like it would be, you know, like, oh, Chelsea's doing this. Yeah, that's about right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's you kind of have to put that stuff. It's hard because you can't ever, when you can start comparing yourself to somebody else, then it kind of gets, that's where you get oh, fucked up in the game anyway.
It's, and I mean, social media makes it impossible. I always think of yeah. Katina Correo. Have you ever had her on?
No,
she's
but I need
to. She's fucking awesome.
She's great.
And I'm sure she didn't necessarily invent this, but I just always think of her saying it a lot, like eyes on your own paper. And I try to think about that so much. And it's hard, especially with social media. It's hard to keep your eyes on your own paper. And I'll get caught up. Like, so, like this just happened the other day. Like, Selena Kopic, who she just yes. recorded an album. Congratulations. And fucking killed it. She emailed me just a, like, industry sort of like, oh, here's, like, little industry update. Like, XYZ, whatever. And I was like, suddenly I was just in such a bad mood. I was like, and I was so just like, tormented about like, oh, well, you know, this person got this and this person got this. And I'm like reading the industry article about like all this shit this people got. And I was like, Chelsea, wait, like you don't even want these. It's like, those aren't even my goals.
Yeah.
But somehow I was still in a mental spiral about how they're succeeding and I'm failing and I need to be doing more. And then I was like, snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
It's so hard to not get caught up in that game.
Like, well, the Montreal Just for Laughs list came out and people are up there and stuff. And a lot of people on Facebook were kind of bent out of shape about that.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah. people think everyone has their own. You know, well, I did more than this person and that. And it's like,
yeah.
unfortunately, there is no justice. It's just like, it is what it is. There's no brown or like, you're not getting a medal for like, people aren't like, you know, Jeff Singer doesn't have a spreadsheet of like hours put in. It's like, it doesn't fucking work that way. Of course, not to say I haven't been that person too, who's been like, what? Yeah. They got that? Yeah. Like, I did more and that. But like,
yeah.
Of course, that's human nature. But yeah, it's like we have to. I feel like if we were able to let go of that, we'd all be so much happier. But it's hard. It's hard. Not, that's an instinctive reaction to
it
have.
Is.
But that's unfortunately, that's not how this works, you know? But
yeah,
it's hard to swallow that.
And I think it's okay to let yourself have those feelings and then deal with them like
yeah.
however, in the most positive way that you can
yeah.
and then move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I've moved on from that. Yeah.
But also, fuck everyone who got my... No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations. I don't even know. It's like I couldn't even tell you who those people were this year. But I'm proud of all of you.
Well, Chelsea, talk about... I guess that maybe we're going to... I need to have an off-mic conversation with you.
Oh, boy.
About dating
and
stuff.
Oh, boy.
I just want your perspective. It's nothing major, but maybe we'll talk about
it. Okay, great.
Talk about what you're doing now, like your new project.
Yes. So, for personal passion projects that I'm trying to get paid for. So I have Ghosted Stories. We wrapped up Cabernet A, RIP Cabernet A, and
so
RIP
totally
PLL. It's over. I mean, Sue has our own podcast now. Yeah. I should check out. I Love TV More Than You. We talked about maybe like every few months, if there's like a fun, because we would sometimes dabble in like talking about true crime specials.
Sure. Yeah,
like
those were
just like other
episodes.
Things that we like, yeah. And where our interests intersect and our fans seem to like that. So our listeners seem to like that. So I think there could be like periodic, like, oh, surprise, there's a Cabernet in your feed today. And we just wanted to talk about the JonBenet Ramsey, like CNN special.
Did
like,
you watch The Keepers?
No.
Really?
I would think
you would be all over that.
Oh, my God. I need to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love shit like that. But so we might still continue to do that just like very sporadically. But yeah, Ghosted Stories. And then I just started a Facebook Live show, mm-hmm. which I'm really excited about, having a lot of fun with. It's called What a Delight with Chelsea White. And it's every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern, live on What a Delight with Chelsea White, the Facebook page. And so this is kind of getting back to what we were talking about, too, of like, I really try to remind myself to any of these projects that I'm doing that, yes, of course, wouldn't it be the dream if I was making a living solely doing my podcast and doing my live Facebook talk show and whatever else, but also just enjoying in the moment that you're doing them. Like, I think it's something I forget. Like, stop getting caught up in the like, well, what's, you know, should I pitch this to this person? Or, well, if I do it this way and like the strategy should be blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's all well and good. But if you get too caught up in all that strategy shit, it's like, no, just have fucking fun from 8 to 8:30 when you're doing exactly what you love.
Be in the moment.
Exactly what you love doing. Yeah. You're doing it. It's happening. You're in it. Just enjoy it. And if nothing ever comes from it, who gives a fuck? Like, you had a blast doing it. So that's really what me and one of my best friends, Christina Kynan, we co-created it. It's based on just sort of, we just love talk, and she's an awesome, talented writer, and she loves to write and produce and conceptualize like talk, sort of, you know, the creative around live talk shows, as do I. And we both, that's how we met professionally, working on a VH1 talk show. And so that's how we're kind of thinking of it. It's like we both worked on so many shows together over the years, and we feel like our creative dreams are just stifled by the executives who don't get it. And so we're bringing a lot of those ideas into this show. And it's sort of like, we believe in this and we don't have any executives that we're answering to. It's just like the talk show we want to make. So it's fun. We're just about a month in, and we're going to keep it going definitely for the summer and just kind of see, you know, because it's also an undertaking, like putting together a live show every week. And we have like, you know, graphics and like all, you know, stuff. There's a whole technical side of it that we're still trying to work out the kinks, but it is really fun. We have awesome guests coming up. Michelle Buteau is going to do it hopefully soon in a couple weeks. Cool. If she doesn't get, I'm just waiting for her. I'm sure she'll get booked on like some amazing movie role or something between now and then, because she's fucking talented and amazing. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Now I'm blanking. But yeah, we have lots of fun guests coming up. And yeah, also just trying to pitch stuff. Christina and I, we have some other things that we are then like actively trying to pitch to networks and just, you know, get our shit out there. I still have Show Me Your Kitty, my web series where I interview people with it about their cats. I'm not doing it anymore, but I'm still actively pitching it everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Because
gotcha.
I did a lot of episodes on my own. And then that was one where I was kind of like, well,
didn't you have Jesus on there?
Jesus and Miro. Jesus was on an episode in season 2. So fucking funny. And now it's funny to see, you know, I'll still get notifications if I get comments. And of course now they're like blowing up and just like, I could not be happier. There's just like two of the nicest, most talented guys who are so deserving of all their success. Well, like I'll get these funny comments on it now. Cause like now, as their popularity grows, like people will discover this random, like, why the fuck is Jesus? Like literally one of the comments is like, Jesus, white women and cats? Like, no, like peak. And I'm like, oh, what is peak? I'm like texting Jesus. I'm like, is peak bad? He's like, Chelsea, yes, it's bad. I'm like, God damn it. But like,
you like peak whiteness?
Like, I guess. Yeah. I don't even know exactly what it means. Like, and I'm like, but then there is
so
this, this other comment that was like, I mean, yeah, it's very mixed of people being like, this is amazing. I love this other side of Jesus you wouldn't expect. And then the other people that are like, bro, the fuck are you doing? Like, put the cat down. But but one comment was like, what? Like, why are we not talking about this? This is fucking hilarious and amazing. Like, you know, Bodega Hive, like, blast Jesus Amira with like tweets about this and get this girl on the Vice show. We got to get this girl on the Vice show.
Yeah.
And I screenshot it to Jesus. I'm like, I did not pay this man. I don't know who he is. But it was really funny. We were laughing. Well, it's funny. And then he was like, oh my God, we just so happened. They had like a guest like cancel that week. He's like, let me try to get you on. And then it didn't end up working out. But Jesus Amira, if you're listening, I'm still waiting for my invitation to come on the Vice show. They're just too Hollywood. No, never. They're the best.
Those dudes are funny.
They're really funny. They're the best.
So. What a delight with Chelsea White. Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Yes.
Ghosted Stories.
Every Thursday, and then, you know, in infamy, it just lives on your podcast app anytime you want to listen.
And live show. Where else can people find you?
People can find me at The Chelsea White. That's my website, and that's my, like, all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Not because I take myself seriously, but because Chelsea White, without the in front of it, is already taken by a lovely model in England.
Still,
so God bless her. She, I think she's taking time off to be a mom and a photographer. If anyone's interested in the other Chelsea White, and if she's listening, hi Chelsea White.
I think we care more about you than alternate universe Chelsea White.
Like, who is this woman that has all my handles? Who does she think she is?
Chelsea, thank you so much,
Chris.
For
thank you so much. Always a treat. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're the best. If you're affiliated with Grove City College or Dog Walking or Pretty Little Liars, you can talk to my lawyer. Anyone else I badmouth on the show, you can reach out to my lawyer, tanukipkitty@gmail.com.
The views of Chelsea White do not reflect the views of Chris Lambert or the Mundane Festival. I completely be exempt from all the negative things that she said. Take it easy, everybody.
Bye.